a Fueled by Coffee production.
My name is Ben Barrell, and welcome back to Bob Dylan Album by Album, a podcast that brings you an in-depth look at each Bob Dylan studio recording, record by record. Welcome to the final episode of this season. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed this season. I've had so many messages from people over the last 9 or 10 weeks or so, and they've been so lovely. Thank you for them. I think in this difficult time, to put it lightly, that we've all had, it's nice to kind of surround yourself with things you love that you find comforting. And I think Bob's music is definitely, for me, something that I use for that. And I'm sure you'll agree too. And I think the podcast has hopefully added to that and hopefully fueled that a little bit. So thank you so much for your messages. And thank you to everyone that has bought coffees as well this season. Let's give some more mentions before we start today's episode. Thank you to Renee buying 5 coffees. Hello to Rowand in Santa Fe in New Mexico. Very nice. Rowan's put the altitude there as well. I love it. Thank you for that. Hello to someone, an anonymous person. Hello to Nick Adams. Thank you, mate, for buying coffee. Hi to Ben Barr for buying 3 coffees. Hello, sweet pretty thing. He's bought loads of coffees. Hello to Miles S. in British Columbia in Canada. Oh, I love it there. Hi to you. Hi to Josh as well. He's bought 3 coffees. He says, I agree with you 75% of the time. I'll take it, mate. That's pretty good for me. Hi to Eric. Thanks for your coffees. And hi to Kenzie, 1975. Thank you so much for that. If you've enjoyed this season, then consider buying me a coffee. There's a link in the description of this episode, as per usual. So for the final time this season, let's have a look at a Dylan album. And it's the final of our Standards Era run. This is 2017's Triplicate.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend my lonely nights dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I'm once again with you.
And so we find ourselves at the end of Dylan's vanity project. And it is a vanity project, but it's not like your run-of-the-mill vanity project. That description is usually a sign there's not really much in the project for the consumer, but this era has been worth it for the listener. As we've seen, we have a brilliant album in the form of Shadows in the Night, and a competent follow-up too. Neither excited and wouldn't find much of an audience outside of Dylan's core fan base, but for us fans, it's been a nice meandering experience so far, a little trip off to somewhere new for a while. Here, in true Dylan style, he makes it awkward. He follows up 2 albums of Standards covers with a triple album, his first ever. It, and this will be unsurprising to hear, is just a little too much. What's more is it suffers from the problems we've already seen. As with Fallen Angels, the second outing in this run, the arrangements tend to stick to a sound in the same mould as the first record, Shadows in the Night, for most of the offerings here. It's the sound of a midnight band, a muted, classy delivery with pedal steel guitar doing most of the heavy lifting, which, to repeat myself again, worked well on one record with a strong identity, but here, like its predecessor, it's also muddied in with other ideas that occasionally pop up, leading to a less focused affair and one that just doesn't know what it wants to be. However, while like most triple albums, it is a bit messy, Dylan does his best to tidy it up. And as we'll see, he does introduce a new sound of sorts, which appears on the first, 11th and 21st tracks predominantly, although it's never enough to affect the overall sonic picture. He also splits the songs onto 3 discs. His reasoning is that 10 songs per disc is the optimum for sonic quality. Anything more and it starts to sound thin, in his words. This idea was also inspired by, guess who? Sinatra. In a Q&A with journalist Bill Flanagan, Dylan talks about being influenced by Sinatra's triple album, Trilogy, Past, Present and Future. When he was asked if this was the blueprint for Triplicate, Dylan replied with, yeah, in some ways. The Sinatra record is a fascinating way to present an album. The first disc is a record of standards. It's classic Frank bread and butter. The second disc contains more contemporary pop covers. Sinatra tackles MacArthur Park, for example, and Something, and Theme from New York, New York, which gave his career its final signature tune. The last disc, though, is a slightly odd stab at something more experimental. It features big orchestral arrangements and a choir. It even gets quite theatrical at times. Crucially for Sinatra at this point of his career, it's ambitious, which is always exciting to see. Sadly, Dylan doesn't spend the final disc trying to push the envelope, but each volume does have its own theme. Disc 1 is titled Till the Sun Goes Down, Disc 2 is called Devil Dolls, and the final one is given the name Coming Home Late. Dylan explains the idea again in that Q&A, saying, "The themes were decided beforehand in a theatrical sense, grand themes, each one of them identical to survivors and lovers, or better yet, wisdom and vengeance, or maybe even exile. No old wives' tales and memoirs, but just hard, plain, earthy life, the hidden realities of it. That's my perception." When he was asked if he thought about it in an exact way, he said, "No, not in so many words, but I think subconsciously I did. There's endless possibilities to precisely what each theme could be about, as there always is with Dylan. For me, though, I see the first volume, Till the Sun Goes Down, as an album discussing themes we've seen a lot of in this part of Bob's career. Our narrator is weary. I mean, he tells us as much on track 5, Stormy Weather.
Just can't get my poor old self together. I'm weary all the time, the time. So weary all of the time."
There's a lot of looking back here, a lot of memory and time passing and thinking about that time passing and how life has worked out. On track 2, for example, September of My Years, Dylan sings, "One day you turn around and it's summer, the next day you turn around and it's fall, and the springs and the winters of a lifetime, what happened to them all? As a man who has always had the wandering ways, now I'm reaching back for yesterday's." The songs on this disc are peppered with regret. They almost revel in the misery of making mistakes and wrong turns. On the next track, I Could Have Told You, we conclude with the passage, "I can hear her now as I toss and turn and try to sleep. I can hear her now making promises she'll never keep. And soon it's over and done with. She'll find someone new to have fun with. Through all of my tears, I could have told you so." Here, our narrator, wiser now the years have passed, is addressing someone younger, or more likely his or her younger self, verging on asking why they didn't spot a lover's bad behaviour from the start. On track 4, Once Upon a Time, we hear Dylan sing, "We were young and didn't have a care, where did it go?" before ending the song with, "Once Upon a Time never comes again." These tracks come from an old man talking about the complexities of life.
Once upon a time, the world was sweeter than we knew. Everything was ours, how happy we were then. But somehow, once upon a time, never comes again. Once upon a time, never comes.
As we've heard at the start of that clip, the song features a wonderfully melancholic melody. It stands out for me compared to other standards in this era. It has a little more of an impactful sadness than some of the other standards here. Occasionally, with these songs of heartbreak and regret, the instrumentation and lyrics do a fine job of setting the scene, but the melody can be too big or bold to play ball. Here, the melody, though, is more subtle sounding. It has a mournful depth, which is facilitated by the song's chords. We start on the staple of A, but things are quickly made interesting as we move to F minor sharp and then to D minor 7 before heading back to A. Both the F and D chords twist the melody slightly, bringing that undercurrent of wistfulness. It's also a great Dylan performance over the top of this too, and we have a decent bridge thrown in for good measure as well. This, for me, is a first disc highlight, but it's also a frustrating listen. With this song, we're 4 songs into the first volume, and we're still in the same ballpark as Shadows in the Night. The songs are presented in almost exactly the same way. A dark, late-night tone hangs over them, with those clean electric guitars, a pedal steel guitar, an upright bass, and minimal percussion, all brought to us by Dylan's touring band. The whole thing was produced by Dylan under the pseudonym Jack Frost, and it was cut in Hollywood at Capitol Studios in early 2016. Pretty much from track 2 right through to the end of this volume, we have that recurring theme of a weary narrator singing about missed opportunities, mistakes, and the passing of time. As we get to track 6, This Was Nearly Mine, our narrator is still singing of missed opportunities, mistakes, and the passing of time. The lyrics here are, "This promise of paradise, this nearly was mine." And this theme is really rammed home on track 8, It Gets Lonely, as Bob confides in us, saying, "When you're all alone, all the children have grown and like starlings flown away. It gets lonely early, doesn't it?" Later, he even tells us he's seeing his twilight near. The final track of the first disc is Trade Winds. It finds us sonically in a little bit more of an upbeat place. This is territory we broached on Fallen Angels, but the lyrics still revolve around pretty desolate themes.
What are vows that lovers make? Or trade winds, are they only made to break? When it is me.
It's not all bad though. Well, not completely anyway. There's a brief moment of light on My One and Only Love as our narrator sings, "You fill my eager heart with such desire. Every kiss you give me sets my soul on fire. I give myself in sweet surrender, my one and only love, my one and only love." But, of course, it's not all devil may care, as in only the verse before this one we hear, "The touch of your hand is like heaven, a heaven that I've never known." Which might indicate that his love never actually existed, or worse still, the mournful take that Dylan gives these lyrics makes it sound like a eulogy rather than a declaration of love. There's brief hope elsewhere as well, on the track That Old Feeling. We're once again mulling over the themes of this first disc, but instead of it all being cloaked in rueful bitterness, it's a tale of rediscovering love. Bob sings, "I saw you last night and got that old feeling. When you came in sight, I got that old feeling. The moment that you danced by, I felt a thrill. And when you caught my eye, my heart stood still. Once again, I seem to feel that old yearning. And I know the spark of love was still burning. There'll be no new romance for me. It's foolish to start. For that old feeling is still in my heart."
I saw you last night and got that old feeling. Well, came inside, I got that old feeling.
And this is where we find ourselves for the second disc. We're talking about love. It starts with a song out of character for this era. In fact, every disc starts with a song like this. Finally, after 2 albums worth of songs where Dylan didn't present them in their familiar home of a big band sound, here he goes for it. For example, on disc 1, we open with this.
I guess I'll have to change my plan. I should have realized there'd be another man.
It's almost disconcerting to hear this. You get the impression that with this tune at the very start, we're about to enter a Dylan big band album, which of course is instantly passed over in favour of a plunge into melancholy. I'm not sure too many Dylan hardcore fans would agree, but I kind of like the idea of a full album like this. Although perhaps it would become Dylan doing Michael Bublé, which I'm not sure would be the best. Here on the second disc, we have the same start, except bragging ups the ante a little. Bob flies out of the traps on this volume with a smooth swinging take that is actually quite, camp. A territory that Dylan doesn't spend nearly enough time in.
I
wasting all your time just bragging, when you should be busy plowing and plotting. You stand there rotting, get no harvest to your horn.
Like we saw on the Fallen Angels track, That Old Black Magic, this song sounds like everyone is having fun. From Dylan's almost West End delivery, to the solo, to a little brass break, the good times are here on this song.
Like another rooster at dawn, bragging about your fishing, about your horse, your pigeon, bet you always keep the score.
It's not quite as much fun sonically, but we're in the same lane on Day In Day Out, the third volume's opener, which again is brass laden. While these three brassy departures won't be jewels in the crown of Dylan's back catalogue, they're good enough to make me wonder if that big band brass album might have been a good way to go for this final outing. A little bit of fun, a big production to end the era on, but it's not what we get. On the second disc, though, we do have some deviations from the expected. It's a little more upbeat, and I do stress the word little here. After bragging, two tracks later, we have Imagination, which is sprightly compared to much of the first disc, and it's a good indicator of the second run's themes. As I mentioned, we're talking about love here. It's a love that was fruitful but has cooled, and while there is a little lightness compared to elsewhere, again stressing the word little, it does get pretty devastating at times. Take the final verse here. Dylan sings, "Imagination is silly, you go around willy-nilly. For example, I go around wanting you, and yet I can't imagine that you want me too." This, in a similar way to Blood on the Tracks, operates as a collection of songs which looks at love in all its forms, good and bad. Appropriately, when focusing on love on this disc, Dylan opts to cover a song which is a soundtrack to one of cinema's most famous love stories, the classic As Time Goes By. If you don't know, and I'm sure you do, but if you don't, then here's the song's context in the classic film Casablanca. As Time Goes By was a favourite song of Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman's characters back in Paris before the Second World War. When they meet again, this time unexpectedly in Casablanca, war is raging in Europe. As Time Goes By both reminds them of happier times together before the war, and it also sets the scene for their eventual split once more when Bergman's character leaves Casablanca for safety at the end of the film. The song's pivotal placing in this famous love story is enough for it to be a classic love song, but it also exists away from the screen too. In fact, it existed for a decade before the film. It was written by Herman Hupfeld for the modestly successful 1931 Broadway show Everybody's Welcome. And on its own as a piece of music, it's also just a great love song too. For me, it celebrates the little things in life, almost saying that don't forget how important a kiss can be. Something as small as that can be huge. We hear the lines, "You must remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh, the fundamental things apply as time goes by." I love this song so much that me and my wife opted to have it played on a piano as she walked down the aisle at our wedding. If you're wondering, and my God, I know you're not, If Not For You was our first dance. Don't worry, she's a big Bob Dylan fan too. This version from Bob is a nice take. I love that he opts to have the guitar replace Sam's famous piano on the opening bars and pretty much elsewhere too. Also, Bob's voice, as we've seen a lot in this era, brings a wonderful character to the piece. A song like this that you've heard so many times before is enhanced by such a distinctive voice.
You must remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh it's just a sign, the fundamental themes apply as time goes by.
Obviously, there's better technical performances of the song, indeed, better performances full stop, but a classic such as this with Dylan thrown in is always going to come out well.
They still say I love you, on that you can't rely.
It's been a pretty positive depiction of love so far on this disc, and that continues on another classic, track 6, The Best Is Yet To Come. Just over a minute in, and Dylan sounds defiant, upbeat and cocksure as brass rolls over his vocals. Shadows in the Night feels a world away from here.
You think you float before, but baby, you ain't left the ground. Wait till you're locked in my embrace. Wait till I draw you near. Wait till you see that sunshine blaze. Ain't nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, and baby, won't it be fine?
However, this wasn't to last. Unsurprisingly, we are right back to Shadows in the Night on the next song, But Beautiful, as we revert to this era's classic sound. The pedal steel guitar once again reigns supreme, the upright bass keeps things in time, and the whole song just sort of plods along. The lyrics continue this volume's theme of love, and just like we saw on Imagination, there's a beauty to this sadness. Dylan sings, "Love is tearful or it's gay, it's a problem or it's play, it's a heartache either way, but beautiful."
Love is cheerful or it's gay, it's a problem or it's play, it's a heartache either way, but beautiful.
And we're pretty much doing the same thing on the track Here's That Rainy Day, especially on the titular line of "Funny how love becomes a cold rainy day. Funny, that rainy day is here." We then have a repeat of the trick from the Shadows in the Night track Autumn Leaves, where the guitar almost gives us a little weather-themed sound effect.
Funny that rainy day is here.
Our narrator on this volume of the album has experienced the happy days of love. We've heard him muse about them already here, but now there's no letting up. I mean, the disc is entitled Devil Dolls after all. Women have wronged him, and we hear about it too. On Where Is The One, the disc's 9th track, Dylan delivers lines of searching for love over sonics so familiar to us by now the track could be a cappella and we could just fill in the instrumentation ourselves. He sings, "Where is the one who will end the search I'm making? Where is the one who will change my dream to waking?" It's absolutely fine as a song, but it's just so toothless.
Where is the one who will end the search I'm making? Where is the one who will change my dream to
We finish the disc with a strange song, There's a Flaw in My Flute. As we've seen countless times, Dylan takes a Sinatra song and strips it of its smaltz. Here it's done like never before. The Sinatra cut is so twee, it's a wonder how Dylan actually makes it even sound half serious. Frank is gazing into the fireplace for much of the song over some sugary sonics.
I used to sit by my fireplace and dream about you.
Dylan takes that and, as usual, shrinks it to his band cloaked in candlelight with a whiskey on the go.
But now that won't do. There's a fly in my flute. Your lovely face in my fireplace was all that I saw.
While many have called the original song a little goofy, Dylan is having none of it. When presented with this in the Bill Flanagan Q&A, he dismissed any such notion, calling the song a, quote, sincere romantic ballad. And this is how he delivers it. He goes on to say, "What gives this song life and what all those other songs lack is an exquisite melody. It intertwines with the words perfectly. I've seen images in my fireplace too. I kind of look at it this way. The melody of this song is kind of like the background to the Mona Lisa painting, a mystical fantasy land. To me, that's the real painting, like a science fiction world. The person looking at me is just a face. I can't tell if she's smiling or sneering. She just has no particular spiritual nature. I'm not even convinced she's a woman, but I'm captivated by the background or the melody." And I can see what he means about the melody. It's one of the best on the record. Dylan's performance actually does the song justice too. It removes any suggestion of the light-hearted goof. Although, looking at the song as a whole, despite its positives, it doesn't contribute much that hasn't already been explored before. It is, however, a nice ending to the disc. As we've heard so much about love running hot and cold on this part of the record, here a narrator is having one last wonder about it all, staring into the fireplace, and appropriately at the end, he says goodbye to his love too. Bob sings, "For every beautiful ember a memory arose. Now I try to remember and smoke gets in my nose. It's not as sweet as the unit heat to dream about you, so darling adieu, there's a flaw in my flute." I mean, looking back, the lines are a little goofy, aren't they? If you're expecting the album to lighten up for the final volume, then look away now. Disc 3, Coming Home Late, appears to repeat the first disc's themes, even sharing similar titles, except, as their differing names suggest, we've moved on a little. The sun has gone down and we're now coming home late. We've gone from the autumn of our narrator's years to the winter, and Dylan's looking for answers to big questions. But while winter does come with a colder, bleaker outlook, it's also an opportunity to make things right before the very end. There's a sense of clarity on this volume. It starts with Day In, Day Out. Here the music is written by Rude Bloom and lyrics by Johnny Mercer. This was first published in 1939. Frank Sinatra puts it on his 1962 album Point of No Return, a title which is much more literal than first thought. The album contains the final original recordings with Capitol Records before moving to his own Reprise record label to achieve more artistic freedom. Sinatra would later return to Capitol for a very successful Duets album in 1993 called Duets and its follow-up, the imaginatively titled Duets 2, in 1994. I like the lyrics of this song. They juxtapose the mundanity of the meaning of the phrase day in, day out, turning its idea from a repetitive life to a world full of possibilities. Rather than bemoaning the same routine day in, day out, it's saying every day there's an opportunity for something positive to happen. For love to appear. Dylan sings, "When I awaken with a tingle, one possibility in view, that possibility of maybe seeing you." As we've already seen with the start of each disc, these lyrics are punctuated by a spirited brass section.
Dear, dear, I needn't tell you how my day begins. When I awaken with a tingle, one possibility in view, that possibility of maybe seeing you.
And while the next track isn't as carefree as this, it's still not as lovelorn as before. There's a clearer, wiser undertone. "I couldn't sleep a wink last night" sees our narrator not looking for love or regretting actions, but trying to make it work. He's saying sorry. Bob sings, "I couldn't sleep a wink last night because we had that silly fight. I thought my heart would break the whole night through. I knew you'd be sorry, and I'm sorry too." The final line there is even possibly an inspiration to a similar lyric in 2001's Mississippi.
So many things that we never will undo. I know you're sorry, I'm sorry too.
Sonically, on this song, we're back to the norm after Day In, Day Out's brief departure, and we stay there for the next track, Sentimental Journey. Except this song just comes across as a bit whiny and plodding. This era has suffered from this before, and for me, this song is a good example of where some of the fat could have been trimmed.
Like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that on a board, 7, that's the time we leave.
night seven.
The lyrics here continue the theme of this disc, as our narrator tells us of a train journey he's about to take back home. He's roamed around living his life, and now it's time for him to return. Once again, it's full of clarity and a feeling of conclusion, but a happy conclusion. The lines are, "Never thought my heart could be so yearny. Why did I decide to roam? Got to take that sentimental journey, home." While the instrumentation of this disc's songs doesn't really shift away from a mournful tone, by the time we get to track 5, we've definitely been privy to a more settled feeling. On Somewhere Along the Way, we hear of a woman who's been getting pretty lost. The story is full of regrets, and our narrator seems to be mixed up with it all. But by the end, we also hear the lyrics, "But somewhere along the way, I started to smile again. I don't remember when. Somewhere along the way, things will turn out just fine. I know it's true. This time." This is almost positive, surely not. The track When the World Was Young too carries all the hallmarks of this disc. Sonically, we of course are still in the same area, and lyrically, it's sad but not inconsolable. It's wistful but, in many ways, content. The song is written from the perspective of an aging Parisian or a boulevardier or a man about town as they review their life. In the first verse, we hear they happen to have a pretty good life currently. It's full of parties and friends, but they recall their young life and they yearn for it. The lyrics are, "Wherever I go, they mention my name, and that in itself is some sort of fame. Come by for a drink, we're having a game. Wherever I go, I'm glad that I came. The talk is quite gay, the company is fine. There's laughter and lights and glamour and wine, and beautiful girls and some of them mine. But often my eyes see a different shine. The apple trees, blossoms in the breeze that we walked among. Lying in the hay, games we used to play while the rounds were sung. Only yesterday, when the world was young."
Oh, the apple trees, blossoms in the breeze, that we walked among.
This tune was composed by Philip Gerard with lyrics by Angel Venia. The English lyrics were written by Johnny Mercer. Apart from the references to apples, the English lyrics only have minor commonalities with the original French words. The English lyrics were originally written by Carl Sigmund, but these were rejected by the music publisher. Sigmund suggested Mercer, and Mercer wrote the English lyrics, 3 verses and 3 choruses, in just 3 days. We pretty much stay on love till the end of the volume. Dylan talks about being inspired by love on Stardust, of being in love on You Go To My Head, and of a love that has passed on It's Funny to Everyone But Me, the later of which is crushingly sad but maintains a strange acceptance. The way Dylan plays it is neither bitter nor angry. By the end, Why I Was Born, the album's closer, seems to sum up the themes on this disc. We're looking back over love and life. It's from someone who is musing over their life, questioning what it all means. At one point, Dylan sings, "Why was I born? Why am I living? What do I get? What am I giving?" Once again, our narrator's love isn't present. We hear them dreaming of this muse and then waking up alone. But once again, they're not angry. Dylan sings, "What can I do?" which has a kind of out-of-control shrug about it.
"I'm a poor fool, but what can I do? Why was I born to love you?"
Triplicate is a curious album. There's a lot to like about it. The 3 albums within an album concept is a nice idea, and the songs solidify that well. Sonically, it's far too middle of the road, and whilst it's eternally pretty, it's also eternally samey. In hindsight, Bob could have treated us to something new, but he opted to tell us more with these songs in the same format for the most part. With the record, he got the era out of his system, and as we've seen on other episodes of this mini-series, in the long run, I think that helped his creativity to tick over. Only Dylan could do 2 albums worth of standards covers and then decide only a triple album could do to follow that up. By the time you get to the end of this run, though, you realise that while he might not have Sinatra's slickness or his velvet tones or his glamorous charm, only Dylan can truly stand shoulder to shoulder with Old Blue Eyes. Like Sinatra said, they're both from up there, and the other bums, well, they're from down here. Thank you for listening to this episode. I've quite enjoyed looking at the standards era. It's nowhere near my favourite Dylan era. In fact, it's pretty low down. But actually, it's been nice kind of rediscovering them and going back to these songs, because I don't often listen to them at all, as I mentioned in a previous episode. I do feel like we might have missed the boat a little bit, though. I feel like there could have been another really good album in this era, a lot like Shadows in the Night. Obviously, we didn't get that. Who knows? We might get another one of these types of albums from Dylan at some point soon. This season, as I say, has finished with this episode. If you want to keep in touch and find out when the podcast is returning, then please do. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Bob Dylan Podcast, and of course at bobdylanpodcast.com. Thank you so much again for listening to this season. I will see you shortly. Until then, goodbye.
A Fueled by Coffee production.